Chicken. I heard that's a good warm up. You ready?
I'm ready.
Hi, I'm Russ.
And I'm Sean.
And we're two dads who love watching
and talking about
movies. On this podcast, we are chatting about the 1981 film Time Bandits. We have been watching movies together since we were 10 years old in Sean's basement.
That's me.
And 34 years later, we're back in the basement.
Russ's basement now.
In this podcast, we're going to mispronounce words.
Forget people's names.
And most importantly, have fun. This is Just Another Review Podcast.
I like this and you like that. It's Just Another Review Podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
You stumbled on it. We're talking about a film today?
We're talking about a film.
A film.
Called Time Bandits.
Ooh.
And that's not to say, I don't want to restrict us. We could be talking about other films as well.
But yes.
Specifically, the movie Time Bandits.
Yes, our root of all evil today is Time Bandits.
Well, speaking of evil, this movie was directed by Terry Gilliam.
Is he an evil person?
He's from America, so I assume... He's evil.
Is he American?
I think, yes.
Question mark?
He's the Python from America.
Ah, okay. Well, you learn something new every day. I always thought, I knew he was part of the Python family. I always assumed he was British.
Yeah. Yeah. The
So he's not.
The other ones are the on-camera talent.
Right. But the man behind the curtain.
The man of the animator is from America.
Right. And Terry does some of the animation as well. Is that what you're saying?
Of the Python, Monty Python?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does all the animation.
All the animation. And directs, too.
And he directed The Holy Grail.
Okay. And this movie.
But when it was, the Pythons were on the BBC, right. I assume, because that was the only channel in Britain.
Yeah, like 1, 2, 3, or 4.
It's an assumption. When it was just now for something completely different, or all the animation, the transitional animation pieces from sketch to sketch were all done by Mr. Gilliam.
Oh.
And then as his career proceeds, he becomes a well-known director, directing such movies as Monty Python and The Holy Grail.
Right. People Brazil. That maybe don't know the Python stuff, what other Gilliam movies would they be able to reference to know who we're talking about here?
The Monty Python people?
No, our audience.
What is your question?
What are some other Terry Gilliam movies that, you know...
Thank you.
So our audience might not be down with the Python.
Of course.
So what else?
As I was listing the Terry Gilliam movies, you interrupted me to get me to list the Terry Gilliam movies.
Oh, I think I was just trying to hurry you up. Hurry up.
He directed such movies as Brazil, The Fisher King, and your favorite, 12 Monkeys. I made an assumption there.
Out of those three or four?
I'm making myself a big ass.
I can't count. Fisher King, I'd love to watch that again.
Yeah, I would. I don't think I've ever... I'm sure I've seen
it. I don't think I've watched anything with Robin Williams starring in it since he's passed away.
Oh. Well, I've watched Good Will Hunting.
What are you pointing at?
The poster.
Oh, I can't turn my head. Oh, yeah.
Are you a Keanu Reeves? You have to move your whole body when you turn?
Like Batman 1 and 2. The whole thing moves.
Because Michael Keaton's outfit was just plastic, like silicone.
He had no movement in his neck, you know. Yeah. When your neck's really sore.
Yeah.
You got to move the whole body.
Hard to be a superhero in those days.
Yeah.
Now everything's, you know, computer animated.
Yeah. Now if they can't move their head in their helmet, they just take it off, let the actors go helmetless. Right.
There's no helmet.
And digitize the helmet.
Right. And then they touch their ear and then suddenly their helmet kind of forms on their head.
Yeah.
Technology. Speaking
microbots.
Of evil technology.
Tell me more about technology.
Well, I think it's what God got wrong, but evil, it's figured
He's trying
out.
To get it right.
Trying to get it right. Spend more time on technology.
So this is an old movie from 1981. I'd never seen this movie before. Okay. I think that was the only thing that drew me to this is you're like, what about Time Bandits? I'm like, yeah, I've heard about that. Never seen it. I should check that one off the list.
Yeah. And whether or not I've seen it before, I have no memory of it. I feel like I would have. Like, I probably have seen Jabberwocky. But movies like Brazil are very important to me, and I watched quite a bit.
How important is it?
Very important.
Okay.
And the Holy Grail.
Why is it important to you?
As a kid, I was drawn to it. I thought it was...
He has no idea why it was important to him.
Well, I don't know. I loved Holy Grail. I loved Monty Python. I loved Terry Gilliam.
Brazil, I can see the VHS cover. It's a guy with a head, and isn't it like opened up or there's things coming out of his head, like imagination stuff,
yes, or something exactly. like that. Exactly. You've got the...
I don't think I've ever seen it, though. Well, maybe bits and pieces on the YouTubage.
Yeah, you should watch it. It's Jonathan Pryce. It's like Michael Palin.
Is it as good as this movie?
Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro.
Oh.
Is it as good as this movie? It is more thoughtful
okay.
Than this movie, a little bit more.
Well, so, then I might actually give it a shot.
I think we're giving some things away. So this is... what Terry Gilliam calls his trilogy of imagination. So you've got the Time Bandits, which is the perspective of the child, the Brazil, which is the perspective of like the middle age, and then the Adventures of Baron Munchausen, which is the perspective of an older person.
And they're all like adventure movies?
No, I wouldn't say. Well, yeah, I guess so. Brazil is like there's some sort of mundaneness that kind of is interrupted for an adventure. Yeah, that Jonathan Pryce goes on. Yeah, there. I can't remember Adventures of Baron Munchausen, but we'll see how much you really like this movie to determine if we're going to watch another Terry Gilliam movie.
I can see a VHS cover or imagery of this Baron Munchausen. And he's got this big,
your curly mining mustache.
I'm mining a big curly. Greased mustache, right. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You're so doing... my visual memory is serving me well.
Really good. You're like, you're someone, you see someone, you're like, I know you, but I have no idea what your name is.
Yeah, I just like remember images and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Who else? People are in this movie.
There's lots of people in this movie. A bunch of bandits. So Craig Warnock plays Kevin.
The little boy.
10-year-old boy.
Yeah. Amazing performance.
Oh.
by Craig Warnock. What did he do after this movie?
I don't know if he did a lot.
Actually. Oh, I'm so surprised.
When I was doing the research or putting together all the names, he did not have a photo for his internet movie database profile. So I made the assumption, again, assuming a lot here, that he probably didn't have much of a film career after this. So I didn't dig any deeper. I just went, well, he doesn't have a photo. Or he just
had a youthful film career and his parents were all weird and they're like, I'm not putting his face on the internet.
I don't think that's a weird perspective to have.
Although
he's probably like a protective and
probably smart. Older than us by now, I would say, considering we were 3 years old when this came out.
Right. And he was 10.
So I think Craig, he could choose whether he puts his own image on the internet by now.
I think so. And I think if he wants nothing to do with Hollywood or his, you know, child film career, then that's his prerogative. And good for him.
Good for him. Stand up to his parents like that.
Hopefully we'll call Craig later.
Stand up to his mom and
this
dad.
This also stars David Rappaport, who plays Randall.
Randall.
Kenny Baker, who plays Fidget.
And R2-D2.
Jack Purvis, who plays Wally. Malcolm Dix, who plays Strutter. Tiny Ross, who plays Vermin. And Mike Edmonds, who plays Og. Those are the most important people.
Right. Those are our main characters, our child and our group of bandits, right. Correct? Right? Our little group of bandits.
But we have
our smaller group of bandits.
Correct. Time bandits. But
right?
Of course, we have very well-known
actors.
They're
no short on personality here in this group of bandits, is there?
No, I don't think so. I think they have a lot of personality.
I think so, too. I think you have
You know to. What also has personality?
Mm-mm.
Cheese Whiz.
Yum.
This movie stars a
You know who likes Cheese Whiz?
Your dog.
Tom Cruise.
On your does he?
No.
Go fuck yourself.
Okay. Sean, there's a swear jar.
Sean came into my house this morning to go into the basement to do a podcast.
Before Russell's awake.
It was about 4 in the morning. I was sleeping. But you know who was up? My dog.
Oh.
And so my dog comes up to sniff Sean and to give him a welcome. And you know how very when welcome. Dogs sniff your groin, most people are like, get out of there. Or they kind of shift. Sean just thrusted his groin in my dog's face.
I just felt like socializing.
Gave the dog ample time with your groin.
An open gate.
And then when you were done with that, you turned around and let him sniff your ass.
Hey. There's two sides to every coin, right? There's a good and evil to every person. I just exposed them both to your poor dog.
And the fact you did that all at 4 in the morning, before I was even awake.
Before you were even awake.
Sean Connery.
And his dog fucking told him all about this, too.
Yeah,
once don't trust the dog.
I would have had no idea unless the dog told me.
Don't trust the
Ron
dog.
Sean came over and showed me his balls.
He let me sniff his jaw.
Oh, what else did Sean let you do? Oh, shut up, dog.
That's me now?
No, that's me. That's me interrupting the dog.
Oh, you're there.
I just interrupted.
So I'm having a conversation once you've left, but you're really
I was still there. Hiding you're in hiding your house. In the house. Yes. I'm very eager to get going on the podcast.
You're like the Steve Martin Roxanne of just like feeding the dog lines, and the dog's like, well, Sean's an actual good guy. You should trust him. This doesn't sound like my dog. Sean Connery's in this. He plays King Agamemnon.
And a fireman.
And a fireman in the end. Shelley Duvall, John Cleese, Catherine Helmond. Do you remember Catherine Helmond from Mona from Who's the Boss?
She's the hot grandma from Who's the Boss.
Yeah, frig. That Mona. Brought back.
Wait, you see, 84 to 92 was the running of Who's the Boss?
Who was the boss?
They were the boss and of network TV. They obviously were the boss. 8 year running. That's pretty good.
Back, remember sitcoms back then? Silver Spoons.
I remember Grease all Company. Of them, but eight, I'm seeing 8 years. That's a good run. That's a
good run. Good run.
Damn. Who else is in this?
Ian Holm, our friend from Alien. Michael Palin also wrote this with Terry Gilliam. And some well-known English actors, Ralph Richardson, Peter Van Hahn, and David Warner.
Great.
The movie cost $5 million. It made about $42 million. Well done, Time Bandits. Snaps.
Oh, I was snapping, but I really have an appropriate yeah. I could have just used that. Why did I snap?
Congratulations, Time Bandits.
There you go. No burping, but I just hacked up a lung on the podcast.
In radio, if you're going to, there's a cough button. So if you got a cough, you push a button, it mutes your mic quickly as you cough.
That was on the more expensive model that you wouldn't let me buy.
Oh, really? So it actually is a...
Yeah, version 2 of this thing can do stuff like that.
And when you say thing, what are you referring to?
This Rodecaster, this wonderful Rode podcaster mixing board that we use. Right. Well, yeah. Well,
so it's a little bit, yeah. So if you're going to cough, just hit the applause button.
Okay.
Okay.
What do I do when you talk? Tell us, Russ. Tell us more about your thoughts. Please. I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Do you want to get into it?
Yeah, go for it. No, you start talking. Oh no, we're okay. Are we going to go into it? You ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kevin.
Wait.
Yes.
Wait. Ah. I actually found music.
Say again.
I like
it. Kevin is a little English boy who has a fondness for history.
Do you know that the ancient Greek warriors had to learn 44 different ways of kung fu?
You wrote this.
I wrote unarmed combat.
Okay, well, I improvised.
His parents were addicted to the electronic television and didn't give him much mind.
No noise!
Save the blender!
In his bedroom, Kevin abruptly meets the Time Bandits, a group of interdimensional outlaws who worked for the Supreme Being, repairing holes in the space-time fabric, but decided to go rogue with the help of a very special map.
Very special.
Somewhat unwillingly, Kevin joins the Time Bandits on an adventure that crosses paths with Napoleon Bonaparte, the Robin Hood, King Agamemnon, and historically most important, Dame Pansy.
And an ogre.
The bandits are being tracked by evil.
That's a capital E.
Who wants the map for himself to recreate existence. Evil muppeteers Og and manipulates their travel to the time of legends, a land filled with monas and giants, eventually taking the party right to the steps of the Fortress of Ultimate Darkness.
It's only a model.
The bandits attempt to defeat evil, suffer great casualties.
Fidget!
But in the end, it's the Supreme Being that defeats evil, claiming it was just a test all along.
I am the Lord of Darkness.
Who did it better?
The Lord of Darkness or this guy? Who's the actor that plays evil here?
Well, it is Peter. No, it's not. It is David Warner. Know. David Warner.
He's way down at the bottom of the list. Jeez, yeah. David Warner.
Well-known English actor. You might recognize him from Titanic, In the Mouth of Madness, and two episodes of Murder, She Wrote.
Do you know where I most recognize him from? One of my favorite movies of all time.
Tell me.
You got to guess.
Okay. Is it?
Probably on my top five list of all time.
The Adventures of Baron Munchausen. What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
One more. You got one more.
Is it G.I. Joe, the movie?
Close.
What is it?
Tron. He plays the bad guy in Tron.
Oh, that I could have guessed that.
Yeah.
A movie.
You should suffer. Resolution.
And a quote from Tron.
Yeah, there's a quote from Tron.
I thought he...
Thank you.
You're welcome. David Warner, I thought he does a marvelous job in this movie.
Yeah, I think he does the only good job in this movie.
I would
disagree. One of the few.
I would, yeah.
Him and Ian Holm.
Oh, yes.
The only two that I gave points for standouts for.
Oh, okay. They stood up for you.
Yeah. The only two.
Yeah.
Let's maybe just go... I think you summed up the movie beautifully with your synopsis.
Thanks, everybody.
But let's
see. Please sit. Sit. Come on. Stop. Stop. Sit, everybody. No, just please. Let's get on with the show. Thank you.
Let's just maybe go through it a little bit.
Beat by beat. What do you want to talk
boom,
about?
Boom, boom, boom. Movie starts John Cleese, big and bold. Sean Connery. Yes,
all these names.
I'm like, great, great. Look at these names. This is going to be great.
All
great.
These
John Cleese is in it for what, 5 minutes?
Yeah, he's the Robin Hood.
Robin Hood. And Sean Connery's, I mean, he's in it a little bit more as the, what's his king of something? King of Amadea.
Agamemnon in Greece. I think he's kind of the representation of dad, of a better dad for Kevin.
Right.
Kevin chooses, which, you know, it makes sense, Sean Connery.
Oh, his parents were shitty, and they just, you know, they didn't
pay him
any attention in the real world, if you want to call that the real world.
Yeah, no, of course. If they had listened to Kevin, they wouldn't be dead. They wouldn't have blown themselves up.
You think? What did Kevin...
Kevin said, don't touch the evil in the microwave.
Right, you're right. At the end, you've skipped to the end now. We were supposed to go in...
No. Good night, everybody. That's the show.
I like this and you like that.
It's your favorite one. Okay, no, seriously.
Seriously.
But no, that's okay for you to skip around. But yeah. Don't touch the evil in the microwave at the end.
Making conversation.
And you know, and then his parents got blown up. That's what happened. Everyone's getting blown up. The dog got blown up.
A very well-known...
All the minions got blown up.
...sound effect when it comes to the pythons of just, like, blowing people up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they cut to this fabric just exploding everywhere. It's a funny gag.
And
they do
a little reverse and then forward and back and forward and back.
Yeah. They definitely exaggerate it and elongate it a bit.
Good use of animal costumes and carcasses in this movie. You've got the Minotaur.
Nightmare-inducing. Again, I've got cattle skull minions here.
Do you think that was a real cow carcass head?
Could be. Because that could have just been a regular cattle skull, right?
Yeah, I think
it looked good. I don't think it'd be too hard to find those.
I mean, kudos to the props, guys. It looked pretty real.
Scary. I've got a note here. Let's jump around. Who cares? That's what we do here. Like, who is this movie for then?
Children.
You think so?
And families.
Yeah. It's just it was in the 80s, so we're too desensitized, we're too sensitive now.
Maybe. Like Terry, I was watching an interview with Terry Gilliam and Michael Palin. They said it was better received in America than it was in England. And one of the
as far as children or just
as far as overall, audience.
Okay.
Yeah. And as one of the marketing strategies in America was to do three different commercials. One commercial for like children, like during the Saturday morning cartoon, one commercial for the adults, so more at night. And then one commercial for the people who liked Monty Python.
Right.
So there was like kind of they kind of had three different targets and it seemed to work.
No, I like Monty Python and I saw some similar themes and stuff, but I didn't get enough ha 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 from this movie that I do from Python movie.
No, it was it wasn't a true Python movie in its sketch silliness, but maybe a little bit more heart and story.
Nightmare inducing though. I mean they always have to touch base on things blasting out of the closet, like
that horse looked like it hurt.
Yeah. I mean I just had to go and close the closet door the other night for my little girl. What is it with the obsession with things coming out of the closet.
And more so the closet than under the bed.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah, my kids aren't scared of what's under the bed. They're just scared of things coming out of the closet.
Interesting. Are there other well-known movies or stories about creatures coming from the closet? In the Monsters...
That Tom Hanks movie, Philadelphia.
Jesus Christ. When the monsters coming out of in Monsters, Inc., no one was going to say that.
There's only me and you here. So I had to say it.
I was never going to go there. And I don't think he was ever in the closet. He was just hiding his sexuality from the jackasses.
I have no idea. I I couldn't well, exactly. even reference that yeah, movie right now.
He was out, and he was living a beautiful life with Antonio Banderas.
Yeah, no, he wasn't closeted in that
movie. He wasn't closeted, no.
No. I was so. Just making a bad just
society
joke.
Sucks.
yeah, corporate America at that time. Well, yeah. Oh, still sucks.
Still, hey.
We're on the roll.
You are, for sure. What were we talking about? I think the movie
Time
called
Bandits.
Time Bandits.
Three different movie trailers, one okay. for Python. And then I said this doesn't make me laugh as much as Python. Mm-hmm. And then I don't remember start? Where we went. Let's move
you
on.
You know who else is in this, which I didn't mention at the top, is Jim Broadbent is in this.
Who's that?
He is, who is that in general, or who was he
in the movie? Who was he in the movie?
He was like the game show announcer. So oh, he was okay. on the TV, and then he was in the end kind of like an evil's lair.
He, let me see with where my visual yeah. memory takes me.
I'll tell you.
He takes me right to away. A Harry Potter universe.
Oh, quite possibly, I have no freaking clue. All those guys, John Cleese is in Harry Potter.
Right.
Like a lot of those guys are in Harry Potter.
Okay.
You know who he is?
Jim.
He's Jim Broadbent. Jim. He was in a little movie called Moulin Rouge.
Oh, you really like that one.
That's where I automatically go.
This is where me and you split.
Oh, yeah. What?
On the Moulin Rouge.
Yeah.
Because you really like it, and I don't think I've ever seen it.
You've never seen Moulin Rouge?
I don't think so.
All right, whatever, I don't care.
If I had, I'd remember it, wouldn't I?
No one cares about you.
No one does.
And you know what?
Thanks for rubbing it in.
You know what evil really hates?
Like sarcasm?
How you hate Moulin Rouge and fun, he hates nipples for men.
Nipples for men. Who would make nipples for men? Seriously.
What's the point?
What is the point?
Butterflies.
Butterflies. Let's turn, what's the one? We should turn beans into peas.
There are some good lines.
I prefer the other way around. I would eat beans over peas.
Right.
Yeah. I'd say the other way around. That guy wasn't thinking properly. Again, he was evil.
But again, you think of like an English staple on your dinner plate. It's probably like a little corner is always reserved for peas.
Green peas?
For peas. What's with their love for peas?
I don't know.
Also, tomatoes. Sliced grilled tomatoes for breakfast.
Two things I don't like. I'd rather have bacon and eggs.
I think they enjoy a good bacon and eggs as well.
You think you'd be able to find it over across the pond? A good thing of bacon and eggs?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, they do good breakfast.
Well, I'm going. That's all there is to it.
Beans. You'll get some beans. You'll get some fried tomato. You'll get some toast, lightly burnt toast.
There's lots of... what, quote-unquote, little people in this?
Sure.
Let's just get it straight. What
little people,
I little think. People is the proper term?
I think so.
Right?
I think, again, they could always say what they prefer, but little people on the internet tells me that's the politically correct term.
Right. And when I thought this was all Kevin's dream for I'd say 75% of the movie. I was almost hoping it was Kevin's dreams, because then it would maybe actually make sense why... Because nothing made sense. So no,
of course. It's a fantasy film.
Yeah.
But it is Kevin's perspective. It is Kevin's imagination. Whether he's dreaming or he's imagining it, this is all Kevin's perspective.
It was trying to go back to...
Think of the
drawings he had in his room at the beginning and see if any of them aligned with some of the characters. All of them are the same.
Everything is in his room. Everything that's in the movie is in his room.
Okay. Yeah. So I think it is Kevin's dream.
It is. Kevin's dream or Kevin's imagination.
Yeah.
Because even like in the darkness, Ultimate Darkness, Fortress of Ultimate Darkness, you can see it's made by Lego pieces. And there's like a chessboard leaning against the wall of the fortress, just like his room.
I missed that part.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's a movie.
You're so astute.
Here's a movie that would probably be worth revisiting again and again and again.
I don't think so.
And let me further that by saying...
I think once was enough.
I did revisit it, like going back to certain scenes, and I laughed more.
Well, you're a big Python second fan. Time I'm a semi-Python fan.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a full Python. I've just got a semi-Python.
That's what...
So little people, right? Right? We don't call them... We represent... Russ is so cringing right now. What was that?
It's that's the Wizard of Oz. Isn't
it? And what were they called?
they were called Munchkins.
Okay.
From the land of Oz. So here's a good thought.
I made him say it.
When I watched that interviews with Terry Gilliam, again, he kind of I don't know if he was kind of patting himself on the back, but he was saying, here's a movie that actually casts little people as little people. Like, there was no real mention about their height necessarily. It was all just them without costume. You know, you think about most roles for little people, they're R2-D2, they're Jawas.
They're always being covered Ewoks. Up as little beings. Right. They're not actually like little people being cast as little people.
Right. So Willow or something like this, where they're like, it's them.
Hey, just be yourself, but act. Yeah, we're actually hiring you to be an actor here and not a performer.
Yeah.
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 I'm sure.
That's good.
Yeah. I think you even sent me a little Rappaport video when he was discussing about just he only took roles that had meaning to him, and he was given R2-D2, but he had no regrets because he moved on to some other roles that kept him out of, you know, dressing up and doing quote unquote gimmicks like that, I guess, you know, or whatever. But still, I mean, let's not take anything away from Kenny Baker.
And, of course. And, I mean, an amazing career. How would you even know that something like that would become?
How would you even know he was in there? I mean, really? Like, I thought it was remote control the whole time.
No, not when it goes and the head turns and he kind of goes back and forth.
Should have known.
That's all Kenny.
When he showed up, that's.
So when you mentioned all the names coming on the screen in the beginning, like
big names, big wasted names,
Sean Connery, and the name David Rappaport came up.
Right.
And that to me went, that's kind of like how you see someone you don't remember their name. I saw the name and I went, that's an important person. That, like, to me, that was a name I had heard of many times. And I was like, oh, David Rappaport. I don't, if you gave me a lineup of people, I probably wouldn't be able to tell you which one it was, but that name meant something to me. And so as I'm going along and going, like, oh, wait, well, Randall's David Rappaport. Why do I know David Rappaport? So I don't know, like, for some reason he has cultural significance to me. He was in a show called The Wizard. He was in other things. And unfortunately he committed suicide at like before he was even 40.
Yeah.
But I think he is someone who's kind of lived on as like an important British actor, which is just unfortunate that, like, cause he had huge charisma. I sent you a couple of videos of him doing some interviews and, well missed. It would have been great to have David Rappaport have a full long career. But there's some amazing music. Jack Purvis, who has played Wally, was in a comedy duo with Kenny Baker. And what I haven't done yet is Googled Jack Purvis and Kenny Baker comedy duo, but I think we should do this after.
Okay, after. We'll take a break.
That's my recommendation.
We'll go down the YouTube rabbit hole. Yeah. Big wasted names, what I said. You know, John Cleese showing up as Robin Hood. I mean, for someone that had ties with John Cleese, you think I was expecting to see him more throughout, even maybe as different characters and stuff like that. And he was just Robin Hood. And he only had kind of one line that was funny at the end when they left. And it was like, oh, they were all god awful or something like that. You know, they were just being, oh, bye. It was so nice to see you. It was like, oh, bye, bye. Oh, they were bloody awful.
Michael Palin wrote that part for himself. But one of the things to, like, as they're trying to get money to create the film, they were like, okay, well, what if we have John Cleese in it? And they're like, yes, we'll give you money. You know, yes, we'll
Cleese.
How cliche is John Cleese? And so again, so they go to John and you're like, I guess you're in a movie. Which character do you want to play? He's like, well, I'll play Robin Hood. And he based it off some sort of like Duke of the time where it's just like all polite, but really not sincere whatsoever.
Speaking of Michael Palin, what do you think was wrong with him in this movie? There was something wrong with them they were alluding to. It was me, obviously they were trying to get some adult humor in it. He had a personal problem. Him and Shelley Duvall were discussing it in the carriage.
Yeah.
He's not wearing the device anymore. And then they were sort of like reincarnated at a different part in Titanic, time. Yeah. And I feel like he still had the same problem.
But even more problems.
Yeah, more problems.
He had like a mole on his nose.
He needed fruit to remedy it for some reason. He needed fruit. What do you think his problem was?
Something
to do with
erectile dysfunction,
right,
I assume.
Right. I thought they were probably poking at his manhood somehow there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
Not a manhood. Full python?
No. Perhaps? Yeah, it's just as his quarter python.
Is that, and then maybe a python that no longer worked.
Right. His floppy python.
A dead. A one-eyed trouser snake.
Right. His garter.
Piece of pork,
his garter.
Your wife's snake. Best friend, your posse, or your
his
cock.
Poor garter.
You could wrap it up in ribbons. You could stick it up in just.
Someone whose talent. I'm sorry. I always interrupt Russ when he's trying to be funny.
Won't. I come back.
Sorry, Russ, continue on. What are you saying?
Thank you very much.
Someone whose talent wasn't wasted, Ian Holm did a great little Napoleon bit in this.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Very funny. Again, second time I came back to it, I laughed more at that. How he was just obsessed with all these other small people.
I like small things hitting each other. And then when he mentioned that, and then they came out with the little people in the car, I knew it was like all they have to do is start smashing each other, and right. Napoleon's gonna love he's it, gonna love right? It.
Yeah.
And of just, course, that's what happened.
Even at the dinner table, when he's just like reminiscing on all those powerful small people,
right? Yeah.
Very funny stuff. Anything else that you want to talk about?
I'm kind of looking through my notes here. You know, I'll be honest with you. We are talking, and this is jovial and fun, but to be honest here, I didn't really enjoy watching this movie. Sort of just drag through it a bit. And I think I get Terry Gilliam. I mean, I don't get Terry Gilliam. I enjoy some of his other...
No one gets Terry Gilliam.
This one was a little weird for me. Maybe I just, maybe I needed some psychedelics or something to really enjoy this one. I don't know. I can see how other people would enjoy this, but this one just wasn't really for me because I was just, it was just... craziness too. I think I was looking for a bit more of a through line, a little bit more of a plot, like why are they, what's Kevin's purpose in all this, are they searching for something? And then finally, about what it had to be over halfway through, they finally get the idea to go search for, what did they call it, the most fabulous object or whatever. I was like, okay, here now they're actually searching for something, something's driving the story here. Now they're finally on a quest.
Right.
I mean, I don't always need that stuff, but, for watching kind of the first hour and it's just kind of, they're just jumping around. It almost seems like just nonsense, one skit to the next, right? Nothing had any connectivity to it.
Right.
Other than we got to get to another time warp, right? Right. And then it's just, okay, hit the reset button. Let's just start a whole nother skit.
Right. And I think that's one of the things that Terry Gilliam was getting feedback on, that he needed some engine, and that's in the beginning, it's the supreme being like chasing them, like, I need my map back, and they're like, oh, we better get out of here, and that was the kind of thing that was driving them forward through their adventures through time. And then yes, it was like evil being aware that they had the map, and then kind of using his little muppeteering of Og to be like, well, you know where you really need to go, you need to come to me so I can take the map from you. It wasn't, it was just fun.
Yeah.
Well, just family
for
fun.
For you. For you it was. And then, you kind of think maybe Kevin's going to, come to some sort of realization or something like that at the end, and he wakes up, his fucking house is on fire and stuff like that, and he gets ripped out. And then his parents just get blown up at the end. How did they get blown up again?
They touch...
Oh, right. They touch the evil in the microwave and it just explodes them. Right. Yeah. And Kevin's just left there parentless, houseless, and it just kind of pulls up and it's like the end.
Maybe a certain firefighter will come back for him and be his real dad.
Maybe.
I think Kevin would prefer that.
I think so. It sounded like it. But still, for a children's movie, to end with the parents dying and your house is burnt and you're kind of left on your own.
I think the kids like that. It's more the adults that look at that and go like, ooh. Well,
maybe that's just me looking at through a,
but the
a
kids kind are like, of a yay!
Different lens.
Yeah. You didn't listen. They didn't listen. Parents should always listen to their kids.
Do we have anybody to call today?
No one to call.
I don't think Tom will take our call either, really.
Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
I don't think he has anything to do with this movie.
No, but he wouldn't even call. He wouldn't even answer our call if we tried to call him again.
Last time. I can't remember. What did he tell you specifically?
I've got it recorded here. If he said if I ever call him again, he will.
I will fuck you up!
Okay, good. That's what he said.
All right, let's rate this.
Okay.
This shit is awesome!
You want to go first, Sean?
No, you suck. This is where we rate our films or movies or whatever the heck we're talking about. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We don't believe in zeros because at least takes someone's effort to do something. We'll give them credit for that. This is the point where I actually read off a script because I have little notes. I make a little synopsis of what I think. So I'm giving this a 2. This is I'd rather watch The Great Outdoors
than
this movie.
Thank you for that base level.
You're welcome. And so let's see. I was interested to watch this movie as I've enjoyed Terry Gilliam movies in the past. The zanginess, subpar plot holes, and overall messiness of the movie quickly diminished any excitement I had had. Some great character actors were wasted, headliners such as Cleese and Connery, but there were some moments with Ian Holm and Mr. Evil himself. No laughs from me, just constant head scratching and the desire to pause and ingest some mushrooms along the way.
Oh, you took mushrooms?
No, the desire to. I thought it would probably make it a lot better if I was all high on mushrooms.
I mean, sure.
So if I watch it again, I'll do some mushrooms.
Well, surprise, surprise.
You did mushrooms?
I did some mushrooms.
Okay.
And
watched
it. And I loved it. No, I gave this a 3, which is, as I go back, I was going back to my old JARP ratings since we did No Country for Old Men.
Right, and since you don't use my JARP and rating since maker.
I have no strategic process to this. Realize that I give a lot of movies 3.
Yeah,
so
I've noticed that.
Yeah, so now I'm doing like I'm creating a tab in Excel, Google Excel, whatever it's called, of like the ratings I gave and then probably rating, like adjusted ratings based on like.
See, why don't you just use the fucking JARP rating maker?
Yeah.
And then it will give you like a proper value and make you think about why you're giving it a rating.
Yeah, that's a smart thing to do.
It is a smart
thing. Okay, I'll do that for now.
He won't.
I gave it a 3. I think it holds together better than Legend, the movie we did last time.
Better than Legend.
Lacks a little bit of substance at times. I wonder, and as I have already during this podcast, what multiple viewings would do for me. I did take me 2 sittings. So when I kind of, the first night I stopped around the Napoleon scene. And then so the second night I kind of started the Napoleon scene from the beginning and ended up laughing more than I did the night before. So I think, and then with this morning when I was re-looking at like the evil scenes, just some chuckles for me. Some lols. I laughed out loud. I kind of would have liked everyone back together again at that end fight. So if like Napoleon would have been there and Sean Connery had been there, kind of like, you know, Big Fish style, to make like all these little adventures mattered. And here they are at the last stand against evil. I thought that would probably have escalated the movie overall. I think that was their intention was to bring back a Connery, but unfortunately they weren't able to based on availability and all that. And he was able to come back together for the firefighter. Come back for the film for the firefighter. Anyways, not as silly as the Holy Grail, not as heady as Brazil. I give this a 3, and I think I'm going to be one of those movies like Bloodsport that I'll go back to and rewatch a lot.
Go fuck yourself.
Next time.
You know.
Thoughts by Sean.
No, your thoughts on the ending sort of fight battle scene. I thought for a second for sure all the sort of Robin Hood was going to pop out and Sean Connery as the king was going to pop out and maybe the ogre was going to pop out and, you know, and all of a sudden.
How amazing would
join. That be? Yeah, would have been much better. Would have, I think, been more of a, I don't know, child-friendly sort of, I don't know. What's the word? Just bring it all together at the end kind of thing a little bit better.
Yeah.
Wrap everything up.
Yeah.
If it is possible to even wrap that movie up.
Do you cry when you watch Big Fish?
I've only seen it once. It was a long time ago.
Did you cry?
I have no idea. Probably. Cried everything.
It really tugs on the heartstrings, the end of Big Fish.
Does it? I don't remember the ending. So it's about an old man dying, isn't it? A guy and his dad dying?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. That's
exactly. You should watch.
No, I don't think so. I think I'll stay away from that shit.
Here we go. Stargazing. It's fart sounds.
Well, it's only been a week since we've done a podcast, so I haven't had the chance to
really
stack up on my watch list since we've last talked.
Wow.
I've been busy at work.
Okay.
Busy with kids.
Tell me about life. It's almost.
And then I've just been watching a little bit of Entourage again.
Oh, God.
Boobs and objectifying women.
And how's that for you?
Boobs and it's a lot of objectifying women. So really?
No,
I'm at the point now where they're actually really focusing on making
Aquaman.
A movie. No, it's past Aquaman. They're making Medellin, a story about Pablo Escobar. Yes. So all the episodes are kind of around them. Wheeling and dealing. There's not too much of the sitting by the pool side with boobs in their face kind of stuff. Although they do They do sprinkle it in there, but yeah.
Sprinkle, sprinkle.
No, but it's all about them trying to get a movie funded and made and buying scripts and fighting people and stuff like that.
That's Hollywood, whatever, baby.
I guess. I don't know. I think it's pretty far-fetched as far as real. Well,
unlike Time Bandits.
Yeah. I still want to see the creator.
Yeah.
Even though I've heard just kind of mediocre. I haven't heard any like detailed reviews like, oh, this part or that part. But I've heard just sort of mediocre reviews on it. Like, oh, the effects are great, but maybe the story is meh. I don't know.
I would say lower your expectations and I bet you'll have a great time.
Yeah. I don't know. The trailer looks amazing. So yeah. I was really stoked to see it. Again, it's just trying to find time to go see that.
I could try to go see it tomorrow night or something.
Hey, I think I could probably swing that.
Okay, well, let me.
I got some free tickets too. I can treat you. Oh my gosh. Making time. I really want to make time to watch that Ninja Turtles animated feature. Heard good things about it.
I thought you'd have seen that
movie. No, I still haven't made time to watch it yet.
Weird. I thought in a previous podcast you had told me that you had
seen I'd watched like the first 10 minutes of it and I haven't been able to get back to it since. I don't understand. It was too loud. That's what it was. It's really loud. Like, it's like.
Hey, that new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie. It's
No. It's like soundtrack wise, like
turn it down,
like Spider Man. What's just constant kind of loud music pumped through it.
So Spider-Man, it's
not
Spider-Man.
Something I can watch quietly. Anyways, and I still need to watch Meaning the Bear like season 2 and Yellow Jacket season 2.
You'll wake everyone up.
Yeah,
I would not watch Yellow Jacket season 2, and I would watch the Bear season 2.
Right, start on the Bear.
Yeah, start on the Bear.
Okay,
watch the creator. Watch the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie, even though I've never seen it either.
And if time permits, come back to Yellow Jacket.
Find something else. Yeah, or if you haven't seen that Steven Spielberg movie yet.
Oh, right. The Fabelmans. Shit. I still got to watch that one.
You know what I watched? Phantom Thread.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cumberbatch, wasn't it? Isn't that a Cumberbatch?
That's definitely not a Cumberbatch.
No. Phantom Thread.
It is a Daniel Day-Lewis. It's like a Paul Thomas Anderson film. It's we had a question in our previous random movie trivia about Phantom Thread, which I knew what it was, but I couldn't remember the name. And it was a movie I had just never seen from a Paul Thomas Anderson joint. And I did watch it this past week.
And?
Amazing.
Oh.
Amazing movie. You got to watch it. You got to watch it, man.
Quick, JARP rating.
JARP rating? Oh, my gosh.
Just quick, gut feeling JARP rating.
I would say almost a 5. It was
shit, yeah. Now I have to watch it. You give a movie almost a 5.
Do you know what you probably will do, though, with that movie?
I'll curse you the whole time I watch it. Yes. Why did Russ make me fucking watch this movie?
Speaking of Terry Gilliam, Loki season 2 started on the Disney Plus.
I haven't finished Loki season 1. I know you guys really liked it. I can't do it, man. I'm just so Marvel done.
Okay, well, just
the reason for the thing out right now talking about how the creator could be doing better, but there's just such a lack of interest in any like kind of new. Like science fiction, new intellectual property stuff or stories.
Maybe
I could
yeah.
a better word than stuff, but
stuff,
you know what I'm talking about? Stories.
Sure. Stories. Like I after dinner, I go in front of the television. I watch my stories.
Yeah. Your visual my stories.
Visual stories. Well, I'm sorry that the creator isn't doing better. I wish it,
but I do understand that Loki is a well-liked and reasonably well thought out show. So yes. I'll give you that.
And I don't know about season 2 yet. It's only been one episode. It literally takes off exactly where the last season ended.
Nice. I like that kind of stuff.
So it's like right into the action. Not a lot of like setup. It was just like, here we go. We're still in it. And it very has that kind of Terry Gilliam sci-fi retro look to everything too. So it's quite, and that's part of season 1's, a visual appetite as well. I really enjoyed Loki season 1. Recommend it. Okay, here we go again with Loki season 2. But no, continue watching Entourage. You fucking idiot. Jesus Christ.
It's just mindless TV.
It's just too loud, so I have to watch Entourage. This is you.
That's whatever. You fucking Howard's End bullshit.
Oh, that's a good movie. We should watch that.
Yeah. In your period piece fucking movies.
Sometimes looking back in history, you can learn a lot about current If we don't mind the lessons of history, we're bound to repeat them again and again.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to do random movie trivia game?
Yes.
Random movie trivia game. We've got a stack of cards here. Hopefully we've...
From London Drugs, your trusty...
Yeah.
What would you say? It's not a drugstore. It's not a pharmacy. But they got everything.
They got everything.
A bit of everything.
They got a bit of everything.
Even...
It's like Fred Meyers.
Can even...
It's like the Fred Meyers of Canada.
Get the odd Western good piece Canada. Of technology there, too.
Yeah, no.
And computer and equipment
like
and stuff.
Just like Fred Meyer.
What the hell?
Oh, my God.
This is stupid.
Wow. Okay, so basically there's four questions that we've never seen
you
before.
You can tell I've read the questions.
And we're going to ask, and whoever gets them right. Are we going to go like speed round like we did last time? So you don't ever stop the music. We just keep going.
If that's what you want
to
do.
Let's try it. We did it last time because we went to two. We had to go to round two because we were tied. And we did like a little speed round. And you afterwards said we should do that.
I know. I remember what I said.
Okay. Well, it seems like you're arguing with yourself.
Yeah, I am backpedaling a little bit here. Okay. But
we'll try it. And then okay. We could be like, no, that didn't work. Let's just do it randomly.
Hey, I like that. Let's right, do it. Wait.
Who's going first? I'm going to ask you first.
You ask me first? Okay. Yeah. Ready? Let's do this.
What Hans Christian Andersen story is Frozen inspired by? What Hans Christian Andersen story is Frozen inspired by?
A Christmas Carol?
Incorrect. It's the correct answer is the Snow Queen.
Fuck. Where's the coin? No. Okay. What movie sees Will Ferrell leave the North Pole to look for his real father?
Good luck, buddy. Hope you find your dad. That's Elf. Hey, buddy.
Okay, these are bullshit. Okay, go.
What movie starring John Travolta was adapted from a novel written by L. Ron Hubbard? I think you were making fun of that last
time. Oh, shit.
What movie starring John Travolta was adapted from a novel written by L. Ron Hubbard?
Battlefield Earth, is it called?
Correct, you're correct. Good for you.
Who plays Arthur Curry in Aquaman?
Fuck me.
Where's the coin? That's two squares. We need an extra coin on there.
Arthur, I would assume Arthur Curry is like Bruce Wayne in Aquaman land. So it's the big guy from Hawaii. I don't fucking know.
Ching, ching. That's me adding coins.
I don't remember. The guy from Game of Thrones. I don't know. Khaleesi's husband.
Jason Momoa.
Great. Perfect.
Okay, go.
Who is the arch criminal in The Usual Suspects? Cool.
Kaiser Soze.
And I guess like... Who is the arch criminal? Not arch. Kaiser Soze. Do you remember his name when he was pretending not to be Kaiser Soze? Do you remember? He talked a lot.
Yeah.
Like to talk. No, verbal. Nope. Verbal can't. Verbal. You got verbal. It for Kaiser.
Gerbil. Johnny Depp makes a White Christmas for Noah Ryder in what Tim Burton film?
I would say that's Edward Scissorhands. What horror series turned Freddy Krueger into an icon?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
That's correct. So you've got three.
Where does Janet Leigh get killed in the Psycho? In the classic 1960 Hitchcock film Psycho?
The shower. Okay, we got to go to our. We got 3-3. Oh my gosh!
I think. Yeah.
What?
Nothing. I'll save my thoughts for later.
Okay. Jeez. So, but we tied that one, right?
Yeah.
You got three, I got three.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here we go again. Play that funky music, white boy. Jeez. What films star Audrey Hepburn and brothers Humphrey Bogart and William Holden? Oh my God, what does this mean? What film stars Audrey Hepburn and quote unquote brothers, not real brothers, but playing brothers, I guess, Humphrey Bogart and William Holden? None of this would make any sense to me. But Audrey Hepburn, great actress.
I don't know. Gone with the Wind.
Sabrina.
Great.
Yeah.
Fuck. Where are Shaun and friends headed in Shaun of the Dead?
To the pub. Released in 2020, What is the third installment in the Bad Boys franchise called? Released in 2020, what is the third installment in the Bad Boys franchise called?
Bad Boys for Life?
Yeah, that's right. Good for you. I would have never got that.
What Norse god does the Hulk smash into the ground again and Loki. Again? And
what Benedict Cumberbatch, interesting, film has the tagline, "Behind every code is an enigma"? What Benedict Cumberbatch film has the tagline, "Behind every code is an enigma"?
I know it's the the Code Guy movie. The Code Breaker.
World War or something. Not three. Thank goodness.
The Code Maker.
Yeah, it's called The Imitation Game.
I wouldn't have gotten that. Who played the King's Speech Therapist in The King's Speech?
Jeffrey Rush. Who is Iron Man's wife? Multiple choice. Pepper, salt, or spice?
Spice.
Pepper, you fucking idiot.
What chimpanzee is protagonist in Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
Sorry, say that again.
What chimpanzee is the protagonist in Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
Like, what's his name?
Yeah.
Do I get
chimp,
pepper, salt, and spice? Do I get...
I think you'd already won.
Oh, do I?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like... isn't it like a famous Greek name? Like an Oscar or an Arthur or like a...
This... dressing is good in my salad.
It's like Italian dressing. It's like Roman.
My salad is really good. I like
Caesar.
To get...
Caesar. I knew. See, I had... Oh, I was there. I was almost there. Okay, what are your thoughts? You don't like that?
I think we should leave the lightning round for when we tie.
Okay.
Because we need some form of...
amping the game.
Well, no, we need some sort of like, you need to guess within a certain amount of time. And that's what the tense is for. When that runs out, you're out of time.
Right.
But that one, that the sort of music would end and we just kind of kept going. There was no sense of, you're out of time, you need to guess now.
Right.
That was my only comment.
Right.
My only comment.
And use the
and your comment is...
Go fuck yourself.
And use it. I'm pretty bad at knowing what the right answer is, but not being able to pull out the name from the recesses of my brain. So I'm usually the one that needs that time limit. You're pretty good. When you know it, you know it.
When I don't...
When you don't, you know.
It's spicy.
All right. That's Time Bandits. Go watch Time Bandits.
Don't watch Time Bandits.
Go watch it again.
Go watch
again,
The Great Outdoors instead. You love it.
You know what I...
Bye.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. Show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show.
If someone said, go watch Great Outdoors, you know what I would tell them to do? If someone said, hey man, go watch The Great Outdoors?
Go fuck yourself.
See you, Matt.